Welcome to the Sunday Morning Linux Review with Matt Enders, Tony Bemis, and Mary Tomich.
This is episode 47, Labor Day, but my wife's not laboring yet.
It's not Labor Day. It's 2 days before Labor Day.
That's
right. Labor Day is Monday.
Well, we're recording 2 days before, but the show will be released the day
tomorrow,
before.
The day before.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we got that straightened out. So your wife's not laboring yet?
No, she's doing 2 months. So
wow.
November
Congrats.
3rd, around All right. that time.
All right.
Yeah. Well, although they say you give it 2 weeks before
November?
After.
Both my kids' birthdays are in November.
All right.
They're born on the 18th and the 21st, 4 years apart.
Yeah.
That's timing.
Yeah.
You know, half of my parents, or my parents' grandchildren, like all my nieces and nephews, half of them are in like October, November, December. So this will be number 13.
You know what?
For them?
If you count my kids' birthdays back.
Yeah, if we did.
You know what it lines up with?
Easter or something?
Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Surprise me.
Okay, so Tony, what did you do last week?
Stuff was busy at work. I acquired a projector. So they told me if I can fix it, I could have it. And I was able to fix it.
Oh, you were just, great.
Yeah, so I'm excited about
that.
What
was wrong with it?
There was a couple boards on the inside. I had to open it up
mm-hmm.
and just push them together. They weren't connected.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was right on the media board. So somebody at one point pushed so hard that it separated them on the inside. And but taking it apart was the challenge because I didn't have a screwdriver small enough.
Oh, sure.
It takes Torx a bit. I ended up using a needle nose plier. It was mm-hmm. just the right size to get between the spokes, and mm-hmm. I was able to open it up.
And now you got a projector.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to set up a media room in my basement.
Except he's going to fall in love with his projector. He's going to use it 3 or 4 times, and they don't make the bulbs anymore.
Yeah.
And then the bulb's going to burn out.
The bulb's like $300.
You know how much? Yeah, bulbs are so expensive.
Well, yeah, but they last like 10,000 hours.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Well, this thing's 10 years old. I don't know how many hours
it has. That's what I'm saying. You're going to use it 3 times, and the bulb's going to burn out.
Right.
Well, that's great. And do the people from whom you receive this realize that that was all that was wrong with it? You didn't tell them, did you?
No, they had already bought a new one.
It's just a loose board, and look what I have now, and you don't.
No, they had already bought a couple new ones
this.
I mean, it's been sitting on a shelf for a couple years.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, that was my big exciting thing this week.
Okay.
Oh, and it was my wife's and my anniversary for our wedding.
Was it really?
So,
your wife's anniversary for your wedding. I like how you worded that. Oh, well, how long?
7 years.
7 years. Wow.
Yeah, 2005 when we got married. Although we've been together for...
forever?
It seems like that. No.
She doesn't listen to this show, does she?
13 years.
Well, wow. Did you live together first? Or?
Yeah, we did. For 3 years we lived together.
My wife and I lived together for 3 years, too, before we got married.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
That's great.
So what did you guys do?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What did we do? What did I do?
I don't know what... We didn't do anything, but what did you do, Matt?
Oh, I had the day from hell at work on...
Oh, which day was it?
On Wednesday, last day.
All right.
Because thank God I didn't have to go to work the next day. Because
mm-hmm.
I work 12 hours. I work from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., right?
Well, those are your scheduled hours.
Yeah. And I had to rack some servers at one of our remote locations.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, two of our remote locations.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, we don't really rack servers in anymore because it's just so effed up.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, wait a minute. You don't rack them there anymore,
right?
Because
right.
all your the capability is shifted to the other place or something.
No, just because it's effed up.
Okay.
And but we had these servers had to get racked there because mm-hmm. what was happening was somebody that owned one of our dedicated servers was turning that dedicated server into a cluster. So when that happened,
a cluster F? No.
Yeah, it was almost.
All right.
And so they had to get racked there.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked my boss, I said, hey, is there a private switch in this rack? And he goes, well, what rack is it? And I said, it's 906.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, no, that's a totally effed up rack. We have no idea what's going on with it.
No.
He says, you'll just find out when you get there.
Surprise.
And,
yeah.
And it was totally effed up.
Mm.
Now we label all our public switches. okay?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, well, and I went out there with only an hour to go on my shift, so I knew I was going to be a little over by the time I got done racking these and got across the street to rack mm-hmm. the other one. I knew I was probably be 8 o'clock before I got done, right?
So where are we then in Wednesday right now? Are we at like 10 a.m.?
No. We're at like 6 p.m.
Oh, okay.
Because I had to build the servers, and then I had to install CentOS on mm-hmm. them, and then I had to go out and rack them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting out there. Like, I got there maybe 6:15.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured I'll be working till 8 o'clock, but I'll just go home from out here. It'll be fine. Well, I got there and I started looking at what I had to rack, and I'm like, there was a public switch, obviously, that had a label on it,
mm-hmm.
and then there was a switch with no label and a switch with no label.
Oh.
Okay. So I figured, well, the second switch with no label has got to be the private switch, because there were mm-hmm. several things plugged into it. Like mm-hmm. several of the machines came up and plugged into it. So that's what a private switch does. It's not connected to the public network. It just allows those machines to communicate mm-hmm. with each other, right? And so I get it all. That's not where it fell apart first. I get it racked. I get the first one racked in there. I can mm-hmm. get to the internet and I can ping it. It's all is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I get the second one in. I got no network. Can't get to the internet. Can't ping anything. Can't get to it. Can't do anything. So I'm trying.
Was it on?
Well, first of all, no.
I'm kidding.
First, no. I'm sorry. I got to back up. For the first half hour, I was plugged into the wrong switch. I was plugged into the wrong public switch. Okay, there were two public switches, and I was plugged into the wrong public switch,
mm-hmm.
so I couldn't do anything. And then I'm like, oh, well, wait a minute, this other one's a public switch, too, and, oh, the ports are open there. So I moved it, and I plugged in there, and then all was good with the one server, and the other server, I couldn't get to the internet, nothing. And I'm troubleshooting it, I'm trying the port that works, and that, it still doesn't work mm-hmm. in the port that works. I'm like, well, maybe it's a bad cable. So I took a cable out of my laptop bag, plugged that in, that didn't work, it still can't get to the internet. So finally, I'm like, gee, well, let me check the config file. Maybe something's wrong.
We're on the edge of our seats right now.
I opened it up. Yeah. I opened up the CFG, and instead of dots in the address for the gateway, I had zeros.
Oh.
That was my fault. 45 minutes. When I edited the settings for
it. Yeah, but zero is nowhere near the dot key.
It is on a keypad, and on my work laptop I have a keypad.
Oh, it's right next to it. Okay.
Yes,
all right. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
So I fixed
that. Don't you ever look at what you're typing?
Guess what? The public switch worked. I had access to the internet.
So were you now a hero in your boss's eyes?
No.
Oh, not yet?
My boss doesn't even know. He's home. He's in bed.
Oh, in bed. So what time is it now?
No. But now it's it's coming up on 7 o'clock.
Okay.
It is 7 o'clock. Which is when I'm supposed to be done, right?
Mm-hmm.
So no big deal. I figure that's it. That's the public network. Now we'll check out the private. I can't. None of the machines can see each other at all on the private network. At all.
Mm.
So I'm playing with all kinds of config files. I added every other machine to the host file in it, and mm-hmm. all, you know, just stuff. I added some stuff into the CFGs. Nothing. And then. I'm like looking back at the switches. I'm like, well, wait a minute. There's another unlabeled switch in here, and it's only got two wires plugged into it. One of them goes out the top of the cabinet, and one of them goes out the side of the cabinet. I'm like, what the heck is this? So I plugged them in there, and then the private network worked.
Oh my god! So did you then label these things then?
No, not the next guy figure it out.
Oh, I'm sure that's what the last person said.
Yeah.
That's why I said to my boss, what's up with this cabinet? And he goes, oh, no, that cabinet's totally effed.
Nice.
But anyway, so then I finally got done there, and it's now like 7:30, right?
Okay.
No, more like 8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock.
All right.
I'm an hour over.
So to make a long story short?
No, it's too late. It's getting longer. I now go across the street to the other one, and this is supposed to be a straightforward rack. I just slap it in the rack. 15 minutes, I'm done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except I get there, and I pull the rails out. I brought the wrong rails.
Oh, my God. So you had to go back?
No. I wasn't that smart. This is what I did.
Duct tape?
Because I couldn't just... Normally, if that happens, you could set it on top of the server just temporarily, and mm-hmm. then next guy out can rail it, you know? But
what did you do?
But I couldn't do that because it was going in youth space 3, mm-hmm. and 1 and 2 had nothing in it.
Mm.
Okay? So I just couldn't set it on the floor.
Yeah.
So I started looking around at other cabinets. I'd say, okay, there's an empty U-space, and I can set it on top of that server. So I redid all its networking, its location, everything in our Knockworks program, right? And something would always bork out at the end, like, oh, there's no addresses available. Oh, or something. Something would always... Mm-hmm. So I keep searching all around. And then it's about 9 o'clock, 9:30. And then... coming up on 10 o'clock, and I still got nothing. And then I checked a U-space in a cabinet, and I looked into the U-space. Oh, there's nothing there. Wait a minute. They left rails here.
So I pulled those rails
out, went over, put them in the cabinet where I was supposed to rack it first, changed all the settings back to the first thing, racked it up, and left. I got out of there about 11 o'clock.
Holy cow. Yeah. Oh, wow. Man, that is horrible.
It was horrible.
You're salary-based, too, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
Well, even if I was hourly, I wouldn't charge the company for all that. It was totally my fault.
Mm-hmm. But the second
one was totally my fault. The first one was a little bit of both of our faults.
Yeah.
So
do you do anything right at your job? I'm kidding. No, I'm just
that
kidding.
Zeros Boy, instead that was, of dots, though.
Oh, yeah. That
horrible. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one. So, anyway, wow.
Anyway,
so,
that was my adventures on Wednesday.
It's kind of hard to follow that. So what did I do last week?
Yes.
I typed on my computer. That's it.
That's it.
No, well, actually, when I reviewed a distro, I blah, blah, blah. I went to the Lions game on Thursday.
All right. Is that still preseason?
Yeah, it's the last preseason game. So,
and you got to see them lose?
They won.
Oh,
they
I'm
won?
Sorry.
Holy cow, the Lions won?
That's what
no
I'm,
way.
That's
what
I was well, you guys, you guys are stuck.
You beat me to it.
You guys are stuck in the past 3 years ago. That would have been a funny joke. But they,
it still is a ha-ha funny joke.
No, but no, they won. Actually, they were way ahead. We left at halftime, and they were way ahead.
I have never in my life left a sporting event early.
I do all the time.
I don't care how bad they're losing or how much they're winning.
If I have to get up early,
I value my sleep. Sporting event early.
All right.
Ever. I have sat through extra inning baseball games that have gone like 13 innings.
All right.
All right, Matt.
I can't believe you would leave a sporting event early.
All right, you're going to have to.
I just can't. It just shocks me, Mary.
It depends. It just depends. So,
you're
but
one
anyway.
Of those people that I always make fun of.
I know.
Ah, you're leaving early. You're going to miss the game.
Well, I don't leave.
Oh, no, that's right. You're a Lions fan. They always leave early. I don't want to see
Well, this is preseason.
Trounced anymore.
If it were regular season, I'd be still there. Anyway, okay, well, I'm not telling you anything more what I did. All right, that's enough of a beatdown. But anyway, so that's so that was it. But no, I actually, and it's going to be part of my distro review, but I did have a chance to play around with RemasterSys, and I think we talked a little bit about this before we started recording. And it the nice thing about RemasterSys is that it allows you to basically make a copy of your whole setup, all you know, your OS, everything. Actually, I think you have two options. You can do it with your personal files in there, or you can just do it without. You can make a backup
so it'll
or
make
a copy
make
without
a,
it.
Make mm-hmm. up a bare metal restore, basically.
Yeah,
that's
I think
cool.
So. Yeah,
it is. That's really cool.
So and so I took it through the whole process. I made it. I then took it and burnt it to a CD, and then I rebooted from that CD. And yep, my files were there. It booted right up to the distro.
So originally, what it makes is it ISOs, and then you burn it to the CD.
So you
have the option of having a separate file instead of having to have physical CDs.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
But it was pretty impressive how it just handled that. And I'd heard of Remaster Sys, and I think I've even talked about it in that I've seen it on other distros as part of the base install. But I decided to just play around with it a little bit, and I really liked it. So I think what I'm going to do is look into using that as as part of some kind of backup thing I need to set up instead of just copying files to a second hard drive, which is not probably the most elegant way to do it.
Yeah, cool. So. Well, there's a difference though. If what you're looking for is bare metal backup, like what Matt's talking about, if your system completely dies and you have to completely replace it, you can just throw your image back on there and you're ready to go. But if you've only lost one or two files, or say you've lost your home drive but everything else works, then just a file backup, is good for that.
Yeah, and really,
this actually makes a live ISO that you could boot and recover those individual files out of it.
Yeah, you could. Yep, you could. Because you'll boot into it. Then you can just stick in a USB drive or external drive or even to some other internal drive or whatever you've got there.
That's cool.
Available and just pull those files off. Yeah, so I was pretty impressed with it. I mean, it has some options. I didn't have a lot of time to dive into it just because I had so many other things going on. But, yeah, I like that.
All right.
So, anyway, so that was an interesting thing I did.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. So what else is going on with you guys? Anything big coming up?
Oh, Labor Day weekend?
Other changes or?
We're going to do that now or at the distros?
It's up to you.
Oh, yeah.
I figured it was Matt,
thanks, Tony. I'm sitting here like just sort of dumb. what am I supposed to say? What are we going to talk about now? Yeah, Matt. You were telling us you have an announcement to make?
Yeah, I am probably. This is not a for sure.
Yes, it is for sure.
It never is.
Well, wait. It's for sure you're going to switch.
No.
Oh.
It's probably. I'm probably going to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to switch on my laptop. I'm probably going to change distros again, believe it or not. And
no, I'm shocked.
Yeah. And the distro is going to be Fedora.
You know, Fedora really? Just popped into my head.
Yes.
You're RPM based.
So you're liking your laptop.
I am working with my laptop, my work laptop so much that I'm really, really liking Fedora. And they're very current. They're on the latest kernel. Yeah. Like they're running the 3.5 kernel.
Wow.
It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Probably,
you're going to be on spherical cowl.
I'm probably.
When are they going to release that? I heard there's another delay.
I don't care.
Are you going to wait for the delays? Or are you going
to? Yeah,
I'm probably going to do it soon.
What are you going to do when you don't have those updates every day?
You do. With Fedora, you do. I have updates every day.
Well,
it's great.
Good. No, I'm
really, I'm really liking it with my.
So what does
KDE
on it?
Huh? Yeah, KDE. Okay. And it's confusing going back and forth. Like the other day I was on, not the other day, because I haven't actually turned my personal laptop on in a week. Mm-hmm. The first time I turned it on since the last show was yesterday. But the week before, I was trying to do something on it, and I'm trying to go to sysconfig, Etsy sysconfig, and look for files to add. And it's telling me that it's not there. There's no such directory because, that's a Fedora thing. That's where all your config files are in Fedora. And it just gets confusing going back and forth. But I'm liking Fedora. I think I'm going to switch to Fedora.
Yeah, I think it makes sense because if you spend most of your time, your work life in that distro and that file structure and all that, just certainly makes sense. It wouldn't make sense for me because my work life, it's spent all in Windows.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to leave Linux. I'm switching to Windows because, it just works. God. Yeah, so, but that's great. And, along those lines, I think a couple of days ago, as I was just feeling my laptop, well, that doesn't sound good, does it? I had my hands, on the portion of the laptop that's below the keyboard. It was just running really hot, a lot hotter. And because I use I'm playing around with a lot of different distros and things, and I have a chance to kind of evaluate that. And Kubuntu, at least lately, and maybe since this last upgrade or upgrade before, it just seems to run a lot hotter. The fan's running all the time. And when I use other distros like Chakra, for example, I don't notice it nearly as much. So I'm not sure if it's a power management issue. I'm not really sure what specifically it is.
I think it's the fact that Ubuntu just loads everything in the kitchen sink.
Yeah, I mean, that could be too. And I've talked about changing. I've talked, kind of conceptually about changing. So I think I'm gonna go ahead and run an experiment, and maybe it may be Chakra. Although they have to fix their installer situation because they don't have their final installer available yet. Because they were using I think the one that Arch has. But it wasn't handling some of the complex upgrades very well, so they did away with it, and they're supposed to be releasing it sometime, hopefully soon. So, yeah.
So what is it now? Installed like Linux from scratch?
What you do is, I think it's it's Pac-Man really at the command line, which is not bad. I just need to get a little cheat sheet so I know all the little commands and things. But I'm kind of getting in that boat with you. The good ship distro
good
change.
Ship distro hop.
we're going distro hopping.
All right.
So.
What about you, Tony? You going to change distro?
Yeah.
Rules,
so don't finalize
maybe
that.
Maybe laptops, but not distros.
Yeah, don't finalize that graphic for the show yet.
Right. Actually, that's all Matt. Matt's been doing our graphics for us.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt.
I haven't updated it because I wasn't
Picasso.
Sure. I haven't updated it because I wasn't sure what distro was going to be permanent and int.
Yeah. Well, I guess sounds... I have a feeling. I mean, Fedora...
I'm going to change to Fedora. I just have to get my ass in gear to do it.
All right.
Is what I have to do. And I don't know how much stuff is going to break. Like, I don't know if they're on the right version of KDE, so I don't know if it's going to use my config file or not. When I...
Oh,
over.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I guess you'll find out.
I guess I will.
All right.
Matt, what's happening with the kernel?
And in the kernel news, we have no release candidate this week, and the main line is at 2.5. Stable updates we had on Sunday, the 26th of August, at 16:47 Pacific Daylight Time. Greg Krohartman released kernel 3.0.42 with 21 files changed, 283 lines inserted, and 279 lines deleted. Also on Sunday, the 26th of August, at 16:47. Oh, wait a minute. It's not. It's supposed to be like 16:48 or something. I messed up the time. There it is. I have it double. 16:48 Pacific Daylight Time. I don't know what's going on. I have them both double. Wow. I have just screwed something up. Greg Gartman released
kernel 3. You're working too many hours, man.
Yeah. Greg Gartman released kernel 3.4.10 with 37 files changed, 408 lines inserted, and 339 lines deleted. And my kernel developer quote of this week comes from Greg Krohartman himself. He says, "Today was a new one. Someone emailed me asking questions about a kernel assignment that was being asked of them by a company to determine if they had kernel development skills to get a job with them."
What?
The emailer had passed along the questions. The prospective employer had asked him about kernel development to Greg Krohartman to answer.
Now, can help me get this job is basically it.
Greg Krohartman goes on to say, "Now I suppose you can say that asking the community to do your work for you is a valuable kernel development skill. But for some reason, I don't think that is what the employer was looking to determine."
Probably not. Oh, that's funny. That's hilarious. So did he get the job?
Wait a minute. I only used that part for my kernel quote. But he goes on to say that he and another kernel developer who was also emailed these questions were reading over them, and they made no sense. So the company did not understand kernel development either.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's hilarious. Or maybe it was just a technique for them to see if the prospective employee understood it.
That they made no sense?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So,
that's pretty good. I like that.
So that's all for the kernel this week.
Tony, what's going on with the Linux distributions this week?
Where do we have to go back to?
You've got to go all the way back to
All the way back to Zorin.
Yeah, I think so.
It's actually fallen off the list.
It did. I checked this morning.
Yeah, but good thing I did a little bit of work early in the week. Yeah. Zorin OS, or on the 25th, was Zorin OS 6.1 Lite. They're a Ubuntu-based Linux distro featuring LXDE.
Yeah, and I know if...
aren't they,
more
don't
than
they try and look like Windows? Isn't that like their goal?
Somewhat. I mean, it somewhat does, but I reviewed them a couple months ago, and it was, yeah, it was a nice distro.
Yeah.
I liked it.
All right.
Not enough probably to use it, but...
And then we're going, we're going on to Watts OS R6. That was on the 26th. And Watts OS is a lightweight, energy-efficient Ubuntu-based with LXDE.
Isn't that what we used to use?
Yep. Yeah, our recording laptop that we used to use has Watts on it. And we're still holding on to that to make sure it doesn't, our other stuff doesn't crap out. So it kind of is a backup. But,
yeah,
I mean, it works really good on old equipment, so I liked it. Going on to Scientific Linux 6.3 Live. As most of you probably know, Scientific Linux is a was a derivative or a clone of KDE, isn't it?
KDE Linux? What is a derivative or a clone?
No,
of
not
what?
KDE. I'm sorry, Red Hat.
I think so. What do you think, Matt?
What?
Isn't Scientific Linux a clone
show
of Red
Matt,
Hat?
Show
yes,
to Matt.
They are.
Yeah. So they, well, they
Scientific
just had their
and CentOS are the two big clones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Scientific Linux, CentOS stays 100% binary compatible unless you add extra repositories to it, but Scientific Linux does not.
Oracle Linux is also the other big one, isn't it?
What?
Yeah, except for their Oracle Linux.
Oracle,
yeah, nobody counts them. They suck. But anyway.
yeah, we know.
The Scientific does not stay binary compatible because they add a ton of packages aid with scientific research.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I feel like putting on a lab coat as you said that.
No, leave me alone. Right.
Isn't Scientific Linux what the Hadron Collider uses?
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
And CentOS. They use a lot of CentOS too. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of subatomic particles, this is a small segue. I'm reading an interesting book called The Disappearing Spoon. And this author, and I apologize for not knowing his name, but if you Google The Disappearing Spoon, you'll find out what he does.
But what if we don't want to Google it?
Well, then don't.
Well, what's his name?
All right. Shush, Matt. Anyway, the author takes you right through the periodic table, and the anecdotal stories he has and just the history of the periodic table it's a very fascinating read. It was, I think, on the New York Times bestseller list, and I just wanted to mention that quickly because the book's kind of long, but I'm sticking with it, and I hardly ever am able to stick with a book long enough to read the entire thing.
Wow, all right.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool. The reason why it's called The Disappearing Spoon is because in laboratories, in scientific laboratories, one of the pranks they would pull is that they would take and they would make a spoon out of gallium, I guess, because the melting point of gallium is like 74 degrees.
Yeah, yeah.
So what would happen is they'd put some tea out for somebody, hot tea, with a spoon, and they'd go to stir it, and the spoon would melt.
Whoa.
So, yeah, I guess that's, you know, scientific.
That's the big chuckle.
scientific pranks. All those crazy flood sciences, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway. All right. Sorry, Tony, for that little.
It's all right. Cool. Going on to the 28th.
Wait a minute.
What? Yeah?
Do you know what would be even cooler than using gallium?
What?
Using some type of radioactive material with like a half life of minutes, and then it would just disappear in front of your eyes.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of 6 degrees of separation, speaking of half-life, bismuth, which is, again, another element on the periodic table, because I just read this in the book a couple days ago, has a half-life that's longer than the life of the universe. So the implication is that if the universe ever disintegrates into nothing, we'll still have bismuth. So, all right.
Wouldn't
that's the ingredient in Pepto-Bismol.
Wouldn't it be the universe at that point?
It's radioactive?
It would be. No, it's not radioactive.
Then how does it have a half-life? Radioactive stuff has half-life.
I don't know. It's I'd have to go back and look.
Well, doesn't everything have a
everything
radioactive element to it?
Yeah.
I don't know, but only radioactive stuff has half-lives, I thought. I could be wrong.
Well, yeah, anyway, but you can...
Hey, are we a science...
No, we're not. We're a Linux show.
Come on, let's turn into a science geek show today.
What, Carl? Carl was he listens to a couple of science ones, but
all right.
Is Carl anyway, still there?
Yeah, he's in there somewhere. I'm sure he's
in the chat
right
room.
Now.
Okay, well, we're gonna move on. All right, Tony. Let's.
Oh, I'm sorry. I heard my name and I was.
Yeah, Carl.
We're.
How do you guys talk about scientific Linux. So what were you saying?
We're talking
we've
about
gone past
science
that.
Things. And, scientific podcast.
It led to the Hadron Collider, the
Super
Collider.
Do you know
anything
about radioactive half-lives, Carl? Oh, yeah, the collider. You're talking about half-life, and I was thinking to myself that it must be something radioactive because that's the only thing that has half-life is anything radioactive.
Vindicated.
All right. All right.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm not going to, you know, the rest of the show, I am just going to have to, all right,
so let's get back onto the distros here.
Okay. Yes.
Back to the distros. What's going on with the distros, Tony?
All right, well, back on the 28th, we have TinyCore Linux 4.6. They're a minimalist, extensible Linux distribution with simple and fast graphical user interface. Then we have Turbo Linux 12.5.
Turbo Linux is still around?
You know, I went to the site. Yeah. I went to the site, and it's in Japanese.
Yeah, it's,
and
it's an Asian distribution.
Yeah,
it's Japanese.
It is.
It's the oldest surviving Linux company runs it.
That's what?
That's what it says. The oldest, one of the oldest surviving Linux companies.
One of.
Okay. So that's cool.
But you can purchase the full version for 9,300 yen. If you've got a yen to do that. Right,
if
keep
you've
going.
Got a yen to do that.
We have on the 29th is Descent. Or is it Decent?
It's Descent.
That was pretty decent pronunciation of Descent.
OS 3.0.
As in descending, not descent.
Right,
as
right,
in,
right.
Yeah, protest.
But they're Ubuntu-based, and they're featuring Mate, which is a fork of GNOME 2.
One of the guys at work uses Mate all the time.
Mate?
Mate, Mate, whatever the freak you want to call it.
Well, we'd like to call it
Mate. I think you should only be able to call it Mate if you're drinking it with that tea.
Yeah, yeah.
if you're using it with that tea.
If you're not, then it's Mate.
You know, and that box is still sitting on my counter. Okay. I think, oh, I should bring it in.
Yeah, you got to bring it in.
We'll do
it.
We'll drink it on the show.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Next week.
Anyway, he really likes Mate, and I'm like, you don't have any of the Compass stuff. And he goes, yeah, that's the only downside. I said, that's a big one.
The Compass, yeah.
Compass?
You can add it in.
Yeah, you know, Matt, you're just a study in contradictions.
Why?
Because, you know, Compass is that's, you know, that's the
I know.
The,
I fell in love with it when I started using
the
it.
Ultimate eye candy. And I, believe me, I love eye candy too.
No, not the eye candy part of it. The functionality part of it. The hot corner, the... Mm-hmm. And stuff.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, I really fell in love with it with Cinnamon, and then I left Cinnamon and went to KDE because you got me back on KDE, and now I'm loving that.
Yeah.
I can't stand the hot corner.
Oh, really?
Turn
I
can't. It off.
Oh, I
turn
love
it, off.
It.
I did.
You can turn it off.
I did.
Yeah.
I turned
off
all
love,
my Cinnamon.
That's the feature I love.
I can't say it.
Maybe live without it.
See?
It depends on how you.
Oh, no,
you
look. Hot corner. Ah!
Okay.
Exactly.
Right. I love it.
Anyway,
all right,
continuing
so,
on.
Okay.
Well, I was going to finish the contradiction
okay.
thing.
Oh, okay.
And so then, you know, then you get off on that thing about graphical installers where, you know, you just eschew them pretty heavily.
Yeah.
So I just think it's kind of I think it's kind of interesting because I like contrast.
I'm a dichotomous person.
You are. All right.
Yeah, he has two sides to him.
I think this is the longest it's taken us to get through this.
I know.
All
go
right.
ahead, Tony.
Sorry,
that's okay.
Sorry.
We need a little stretching this week.
Yeah, man.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
All right. So, and I don't know how to say this. Schillix? S-C-H-I-L-L-I-X?
What?
That Schillix?
Yeah.
8 dot, or 0 dot
well,
8?
Either that, yeah, either Schillix? That or, yeah, it would be Schillix or Skillix. I think Schillix.
Oh, there's
yeah.
an X. The thing at the end is an X.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought it was just like some kind of a logo thing.
It is.
I was
well, it is like a, it's like a person
well, yeah, when
running.
I was, but when I was reading that distribution in my head...
But can you call it a
I was
a
calling
Linux?
It chili. Because I didn't realize that was supposed to be an X.
Well, it's Jorg Schilling is the maintainer, but
I don't know.
I saw this and I thought, oh, you know, this looks like I've never heard of this one. I'm gonna do a distro review next week of this.
Yeah.
And then I read text mode only, and I thought, oh, I'm not gonna. Yeah, okay, my distro review. Okay, it booted up.
No
and
desktop.
I had a command line.
But it's open Solaris based, so that's not Linux, right? That's BSD. Right.
No,
isn't it?
Solaris.
I thought Solaris was a BSD derivative.
No.
No?
It's all by itself.
Oh, wait a minute. Matt, no, remember, Matt will be convincing.
No. It is. It's Solaris is its own thing. It's a
Google
Unix.
Google it, Tony.
It's a
Google
true
it.
Unix.
Unix. Oh, I said BSD. Yeah, I meant Unix.
Yes. Yes.
That's right. Yeah, so it's a Unix based.
Same alphabet, different letters.
That's great.
Okay. Right, what's the next distro on the list?
The next one.
Cut his mic, Tony. Oh, man, I don't want you there.
I'm good.
I don't want you to have the big one over there.
We have Turnkey Linux 12.0.
Oh, hey, you know what? man, I'm not even going to look at you.
Are we just going to sidetrack on every freaking distro he says?
You know, I suggest we change the name of the show from Labor Day to Sidetrack. No, actually, I got an email from the maintainer because I happened to sign up for the mailing list for Turnkey, and I know we discussed it, and I think what I'm going to do next week is a review of it, because Turnkey, they have all those little appliances that are basically self-contained, stripped-down versions. They had been using Ubuntu, but now they're switching to Debian as the base OS. But again, they're all self-contained. Everything you need to run these little appliances included.
Virtual appliances. Yeah.
Virtual appliances. You start them up in VirtualBox, because I experimented with one.
You don't have to do it in VirtualBox, right?
No, you don't.
They have Amazon EC2 instances.
Yep, I signed up for that backup, so you can stream it back
to
Amazon.
Yeah, what's awesome with this is that you can... From Amazon EC2, you create an account, and all you do is click on one of the turnkey appliances, and then you have a full web server, like WordPress, all running. You don't have to do any other configurations. Besides customization.
Yeah, for your
Drupal
site.
Or Joomla or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, whatever they have available.
I was peripherally familiar with turnkey as being like a out-of-the-box. They had out-of-the-box solutions for things like that, but that's really cool.
Yeah. It's just all self-contained, and when I fired up the first one, I inadvertently set the networking up wrong, so I wasn't getting to the site, but as soon as I...
Did you have zeros instead of...
No, I had it NAT instead of bridge, I think, like that. So once I realized my mistake, then I fired up a browser, and Sugar CRM was the one I downloaded just as a test. And bingo, I was at the login page for the Sugar CRM site.
Bingo, bingo, bongo.
That's it. All right. So anyway, I'm going to look at that next week then as my review.
Sweet.
You heard it here.
Yeah, turnkey is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of the distro releases for this week.
Yep.
We have a couple other development releases, so look forward to NetBSD, Slackware, and Rosa.
The lovely Rosa.
Yeah.
The distro of the week, according to DistroWatch, calculated by website hits per day.
So, I don't know if we've said this in a while, but when I say the top five, I'm referring to the top five... of hits per day for the distro watch individual.
But our announcer man says that.
No, he says hits per day.
He says hits per day.
Okay. He doesn't clarify it. To clarify it, it's hits per day of the distro watch page.
Yeah, not the main distros.
Mm. Right, because they wouldn't be able to track that.
Page. No, they couldn't.
Right. So, number five is Debian with 1234.
And back in the top five.
Yay,
trending up.
Well, Matt, you're not going to be doing that anymore.
I know. I'm so bummed. Well,
and Fedora is just knocking on the door, though.
Yeah.
Look how it's 1222. It's like...
It's right behind it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Nipping at its heels.
Then we have Zorin at number four with 1347.
And trending up.
Number three is Ubuntu with 2038.
And trending down.
Number two is Magia with 2547.
And trending up.
And number one is Mint.
at $29.82.
Gotta love that minty goodness and trending up.
Yeah.
All right.
Mary, what's on SDA 6 this week?
And I'll tell you what's on SDA 6 this week. Adonis. Adonis Linux. Now, with
now,
a name
is, now, wait a minute. Is it did what attracted you to this was the name Adonis?
Yes, and that's the title of it. That's flexing his muscles. Yes,
flexing his flab.
That's right. And so it's called Adonis Linux Review, or is that a distro in your pocket? Are you just happy to see me?
Oh, that's good.
In Greek mythology.
Not as good as. Same alphabet, different letters.
Oh, yeah, that's true. In Greek mythology, Adonis was the god of beauty and desire, a central figure in various mystery religions. Adonis is also a Linux distribution with the ultimate goal to provide a highly customizable system that leaves the user in control. Would this distro be a god of beauty and desire? We shall see. First, the vitals. The name is Adonis Aurora Alpha. Now, this is the Aurora version of Adonis, and it's an alpha release. So I guess you could, well, it didn't seem to me like it was a release candidate, but I just want to make sure I properly captured the name. The maintainer is Barry Martin. The distro's latest birthday, it was submitted to DistroWatch on June 1st, 2012. And again, it's on the submitted page. This is not the most recent birthday. Matt, you're looking at me.
The distro was the entire... The first time the
its latest birthday.
Oh! Was
yeah,
submitted.
Just his latest. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Submitted. I thought you were saying that the distro has only been around since June.
No, it was submitted to DistroWatch on June 1st, 2012, and you get when you
the
when
entire distro had never appeared on DistroWatch before. It was submitted on June 1st, 2012.
Right, its latest birthday. When I say birthday,
wait a minute,
release.
No, I know what you mean, but mm-hmm. I'm confused. I'm sorry it happens easily.
All right.
the distro came...
I'm not used to you paying attention to my reviews.
The distro came into existence on June 12th, 2012.
I think it's really a discussion of semantics, because all I'm saying is that it kind of like a milestone. It was submitted to... Okay, its most recent milestone, it was submitted to DistroWatch on June 12th, 2012. June 1st, 2012.
It was submitted to DistroWatch.
Yes.
For the first time ever.
I believe so, yes.
So it's got to be a fairly new distribution then.
I believe so, yes.
So it's not even a year old.
I believe so, yes.
This is not a courtroom.
It's an inside joke. Its most recent milestone, and that's the version that I've got, was June 1st, 2012. So as far as...
Now, wait a minute. I'm still not clear.
All right.
Is that the first time it was ever on DistroWatch also?
Yes.
The very first time. Never
as
ever
far,
on DistroWatch
as far as, yes, as far as I can tell, because they have a newly submitted distro list. And if you don't pay, I think you've got to pay like $200. You have to pay a fee. Or purchase, not pay a fee. You have to purchase like advertising or something in order to get that bump into the DistroWatch listing. Now, I wasn't expecting I was going to go into detail about that, so I don't have all that information directly in front of me. But from what I recall, if you don't do that, you basically go on what's called the waiting list. And you can be on that waiting list for years, because there are some distros that were submitted like in 08. I've never heard of them, and I don't...
They're probably defunct now.
Probably. But as far as Adonis goes, the name, of course, just like Terrible Linux, that's where I found Terrible Linux. But Adonis caught my eye, and I thought, oh, I could see the play on words, all that kind of thing. But anyway, so that's when it hit the DistroWatch submitted distro list.
Is it... I'm sorry, I'm probably jumping the gun here. Is it RPM-based or DEB-based?
It is currently Ubuntu, but the website indicates that they are seriously considering the possibility of switching to Debian.
Ah.
So.
Okay. Sorry, Mary. Continue.
Okay.
I was just confused.
Man, I'm tired. Are we done yet? No, just kidding. All right. So, I just already said what the derivative is. The kernel for this distro that I reviewed is kernel 3.2.0. And the review desktop is Cinnamon. But also on the site, the maintainer indicates that he plans to add others. First, live environment. The live boot took approximately 2.5 minutes. I don't think I've really mentioned my timing parameter before, but what I usually do is when I click the on button and the CD burner starts or the CD player starts to roll, when I can open up a start menu and click on something and have it react, I usually consider it booted as far as I'm concerned. I realize there may be some final processes occurring, but as far as a usable desktop, that's what I consider. It was about 2.5 minutes.
That's not bad for off of a CD.
No, because Saluki, I think the previous week was about 3 minutes, and that's a smaller, you know, that's kind of interesting because it's a much smaller distro. Footprint. But anyway, so the Adonis desktop was clean, but it had a dark theme, lots of gray and black. There was an install icon on the desktop, which, of course, I always like to see. And, oops, on the icon, the Ubuntu, the little Ubuntu symbol was still showing. Now, speaking of logos, the Adonis logo is kind of interesting. It's the word Adonis, which was shaped by using the Debian logo in various shapes and forms, but the desktop does not show that version of the word. It just has some block letters that says Adonis in the lower left corner. Now, Conky is also there with three indicators, uptime, CPU usage, and wireless, except wireless wasn't working. However, a quick trip to the system tray icon for the networking allowed me to choose my access point, and everything was fine after I authenticated. So both graphics, and again, those two things I like to look for, the video and wireless working pretty well in the live environment. Now for the big three. The default browser, Chromium, and Firefox, both are installed with the live environment. There is an Office suite installed, LibreOffice 3.5.2.2. There is no email client installed, and the default file manager is Nautilus 3.4.1. The only real knock of the live environment was the theme that the maintainer chose. It's a very dark color theme, as I mentioned earlier, and it impacts other programs. For example, LibreOffice had a black background with the regular icons. It looked a little odd, but it was workable. When I started the install, it then became a mess, because I had gray font, darker gray font on a gray background. Try reading that. And let's not forget the black accent stripes, which really contributed to the uplifting theme.
What is the distribution for, like, goth people?
you kind of would think that. Later, there was another gotcha regarding this theme that came to light, no pun intended, when I attempted to use the Ubuntu Software Center, and I'll cover that in a few minutes. The install process. Unlike the last two distros I've reviewed, Synarch and Saluki, for which the install process was an interesting adventure, and I mean that in a positive way, Adonis Linux uses the Ubuntu installer. So if you've gone through an Ubuntu install, you've gone through an Adonis install. Just add the bad color scheme and you've got the picture. The installed environment. I kicked off the first post-install boot. Oops, there's another reference to Ubuntu in the grub menu, so it doesn't say Adonis, it says Ubuntu. What am I booting into anyway? I think I'm running Adonis, but I see Ubuntu. No offense to Ubuntu, but I am running Adonis, and they should change that. A reboot produced, after I got in, then I had a message that said, language support is not installed completely. What? I definitely recall selecting English as my preferred language. I also had 183 updates, which was approximately 229 megabytes. A few seconds later, the update manager informed me the connection to the daemon was lost. The task can't be monitored or controlled. All things went downhill from there on a lead sled with grease runners. I then got another notice. A system problem had been detected. Do you want to report the problem now? I had to authenticate again, and then I received another ominous notice. Sorry, Ubuntu 12.04 has experienced an internal error.
Oh, no.
I suspected an identity crisis, but the devil's in the details, and the details here reveal that the appd daemon was the culprit. I opted to send a report and got yet another notice. The problem cannot be reported. You have some obsolete package versions installed. So I was like in this perpetual loop. Huh? I thought my update would fix that. Eventually, which included another notice, then led to this final thing. Could not grab your mouse. A malicious client may be eavesdropping on your session, or you may have just clicked on a menu or some application, just decided to get focused. Try again. It was actually the latter. And I've got a screenshot with all this mess on it. I knew it wasn't the case, so I closed the window. They say love is better the second time around, and that sure seemed to be the case with Adonis's updates. This time, when I updated, I only had 71 megabytes for 462 updates, including a new kernel. I was able to apply those updates without an issue. I rebooted, and everything seemed fine. Other interesting programs. In Adonis, it comes with Remaster Sys already installed. It's, as we just spoke of earlier, it's a utility for full system backups, including personal data. It also has Remina, a remote desktop client. It also has the, I'm going to say this phrase, you guys, you tell me what program this is. Networked Environment for Personal Ontology-Based Management of Unified Knowledge.
What?
It's Nepomuk.
Nepomuk.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that was an acronym.
It is. So I got a kick out of that when I saw that. And, of course, for those of you who are not familiar with it, and that would be people probably not running KDE, I guess, because it tends to be pretty prevalent in KDE, but maybe in other desktops too. It takes computer and data information and creates relationships, so I, in theory, at least to make it more useful to you by kind of connecting it together.
Wait. So what kind of data and what does it relation it to? I mean, I don't understand. Like, does it take your documents and like, categorize them together with common themes? Or?
Yeah, it'll index. I think it does index... I think it does go through.
So if you have five papers that you talk about Linux in it, and then you have three papers you talk about BSD, then it like separates them out.
Yeah, I'd have to do a little more checking on that because I didn't have time to jump into that one because what I chose to get up close and personal with was Remaster Sys, so I didn't really do much with.
That's fine. Yeah, I was one. I'm one of those. I've never heard of that, so that's why I was just asking.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It's. But I know in KDE it sits there in the background and it indexes. And I want to say that I don't know if it replaced Beagle actually was the GNOME indexer. Do you remember from a few years ago?
Yeah.
But okay, anyway, go ahead. So I'll keep going here. It also had what's called the Superboot Manager, and this is a graphical interface that manages Grub2, Berg, and Plymouth. These are three different methods for booting. Also had X-Diagnose, which is some GUI tools for diagnosing and repairing Xorg issues. It happens to be available in the Ubuntu repositories because I checked. And then also Akinade, which is named after the Oracle Goddess of Justice in Ghana. And that, of course, is a storage service for PIM data and metadata. And that's another one I typically see on KDE desktops. Now, I made the mistake of clicking on the Akinade button. Now, of course, it opens, but when I attempted to cancel it, because I just wanted to see what the interface looked like, it retreated to the system tray where it stubbornly stayed, refusing to close. Mm. I had opened a terminal to kill it, because there was no button to stop it or cancel it or anything like that. So, and I don't know if you guys have seen the GNOME Power Manager, but what I really liked about it, it's a graphic display of... what's waking up your processor and what it's using. So you can see what command is not only waking up, you can see why it's doing that. I thought that was kind of interesting. There's probably something similar in KDE. I haven't really done any research to check that out, but I found it to be kind of interesting here. And then there's also Buck. Have you guys ever heard of Buck? B-U-C?
No.
It's Italian. It's Basta un Click. And what it is, it's an open source software that can transform a bash script and into a graphical interface. So it's just one click. So that's what, I mean, basta un click means just one click. Now, I've got a link to the site.
I don't know, but my scripts just work when you tell them to go.
But from what I gathered on this, it turns the script into a little graphical thing so you can operate it from there. So,
why would you want to?
I don't know. But I'm just reporting that that was included in the install.
All right.
All right, I'll stop.
Thanks. All right, so the sound and sound and video. This is a menu item, and obviously multimedia. I had to blow the dust off when I hit this menu item or category because there were only two items in it: just the GNOME-based the GNOME sound recorder and VLC media player. Noticeably absent was a CD DVD burning application like K3B or Bracero, and that's a good segue into package management. Now, Adonis uses, not surprisingly, Ubuntu Software Center, and it's labeled that way in the desktop menu. I checked the available repositories, and there are over a dozen, including PPAs at launchpad.net, plus the Remaster Sys repository, and it's still using the Oneric repositories. I mean, the Remaster Sys program, that's still using the Oneric repositories, not Pangolin.
Is Oneric LTS?
No, Precise was. So that's what I thought that was a little unusual, but it seemed not to affect it. Now, by the time it got to package management, you know, of course, I had previously changed the theme because it was so dark and it was just a mess. And then the first time I opened the Software Center, it looked okay. And then I dove into one of the categories, and apparently the font was white, and it never changed. So I had white font on a white background.
Oh.
All I had were these icons, and if I tilted my screen at a certain angle, I could kind of read it. I'm not kidding you. It was crazy. Yeah, I was surprised to see that nothing was readable. And what I mean is that, you know, the theme change just didn't carry over the default colors. So, as I said, I was looking at a white font on a light-colored background. Again, just a mess. Now, what I ended up doing, because I just thought, you know, maybe there was something wrong with that first install because I had all those error messages, and I thought perhaps that had just subsequent use of the system had inherited those problems. And so what I ended up doing is reinstalling Adonis. The second install, as I think I mentioned earlier, went fine. I then was able to change the theme, and I did not have that problem with the white font on white background. However, the install process still had that gray on gray and all that mess. So that's just not, it's kind of off-putting. So my rating, I wasn't really impressed with Adonis Linux. In my opinion, there isn't anything that pops out. Nothing other than a cinnamon desktop on this disk.
Nothing else that pops out. I got that. If that went by a lot of people, I'm telling you, I got that.
Well, it didn't go by a lot of people now. Other than a cinnamon desktop on this distribution, and that makes for an also-ran. The install issues I experienced the first time were, you know, again, a bit off-putting, but I will admit that the second test install went far smoother, and I got... But I got that language support not fully installed pop-up again, and I could not update my install packages the second time I installed it. And I tried three times to do that. So the color scheme, again, that cast a pall over my experience. So I'm giving Adonis the brush off with 1.5 cups of a tepid brew. And that's my review this week for Adonis.
All right.
You know what's next?
The convention scene?
I think so. That's right.
Month?
All right, well, you know, it's September. It's our first first broadcast of the month, our first podcast of the month, and so that means it's time for the convention scenes. And I do have some for the month of September. The first one we have is the Automotive Linux Summit, September 19th through the 20th in the Heritage Motor Center in Warwickshire, England. Of course, those of you who are not familiar how they pronounce that, Shire would say Warwickshire, but it's Warwickshire, England. Now, the Automotive Linux Summit will bring together the most innovative minds from automotive expertise and open source excellence.
Wait a minute. Why are they having this in England? Why isn't this
in
fucking Detroit?
You are stealing. I was just going to say that at the end of this.
Too long, Mary.
I know. I know, exactly. Why are they not having it here?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, the link that you can post your protest to will be in the show notes.
Okay.
The next one, this is kind of interesting. I think this is the first one. It's SUSECON. It's September 18th to the 21st, 2012, at the Carib Royal Hotel.
In Germany, probably.
Orlando, Florida.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. SUSECON. The Automotive Linux is in England, and SUSECON, a German distribution, is in Florida.
That is correct. That is. It's the first annual global conference for SUSE customers, partners, and community enthusiasts. This event will be...
In Florida.
That's right. In Florida. Orlando. They probably got a good deal on hotels. And they make a bold pronouncement. This event will become the premier Linux conference where SUSE users can learn about the latest developments in an enterprise class Linux. SUSEcon will be held, well, as I said, I already gave the date. So, yeah, so I thought it was kind of cool. It's the first one. So,
all right.
Then our next one is Ohio Linux Fest, OLF.
Yeah, we'll be there.
That's right. September 28th through the 30th, 2012, at the Greater Columbus Convention Center in Columbus, Ohio. The Ohio Linux Fest is a grassroots conference for the GNU Linux open source software, free software, et cetera, community. And actually, it's been running since 2003, and it's really grown steadily. I went there a few years ago. I haven't been there since, but I'm looking forward to going there this year. So all three of us will be down there, and we're going to have a good time. A link to their site is going to be in the show notes. And then the last conference this month, which occurs, unfortunately for us, at the same time as the Ohio Linux Fest.
Well, not at the same time. It's Thursday and Friday.
Oh, yeah, it's Thursday and Friday that week. Yep. So that's, 27, 28,
I think. You could go, Matt.
I could go for Thursday.
Yeah. Anyway, it's GRRCon, GRRCON, and that's at the DeVos Place in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Now, GRRCon is an information security and hacking conference. It's being held in the Midwest. It was put together to provide Midwest regional information security community with a venue to come together and share ideas, information, solutions, etc. So there'll be a link to that in the show notes. And just a little FYI on GRR, the GRR. That's the aviation identifier for Grand Rapids.
So, all right.
There you have it. That's the convention scene for September 2012.
Woohoo! You know, speaking of Ohio Linux Fest, I was throwing around the idea of what if we get together for breakfast before the talks start on Saturday?
That's an excellent idea.
And then anybody can come and join us?
We're going to find a corner in the convention center, and we're going to bring bagels and coffee and come join us for bagels and coffee.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do.
Tim Hortons, you can get those.
Yep,
and
you can get the bagels. Of course, you can get it from Dunkin' Donuts. You can get it from Tim Hortons. You can get it from a bunch of places. Einstein Brothers does it.
Yeah.
We may have to do like Einstein Brothers because I'm not sure where Tim Hortons is down there.
Excellent. We'll find an Einstein Brothers and we'll do it. We're going to bring it. We're going to bring a couple, 3 dozen bagels of various bagels and coffee. And come join us for bagels and coffee.
Matt's taking you all out to breakfast, folks.
No, I have little 4-foot tables in my van, so we can even set tables up.
Uh-huh.
F them. We're not even gonna tell OLF we're doing it. We're just gonna freaking go rogue.
So a flash bagel mob.
All right.
Kevin O'Brien, if you're listening, ignore this part.
All right. Well, I think Kevin isn't he like a week or two? Doesn't he catch the podcast? Is he catching?
Yeah.
He's right up to speed. Okay. All right, they're caught up. Okay. Well,
So there's an Einstein Brothers.
So
Tony, I think we changed our plans, Tony. All right,
is there an Einstein Brothers inside the convention center?
It shows it. Right in the middle of the convention center.
We'll research that.
Right in the middle.
Or there's Broad Street, is down the street.
Gentlemen, we've got several broadcasts before we do this, so I think we could probably establish the fact that
we're
going to
do it, and we'll find out whether
we'll announce it next week.
If there is an Einstein Brothers inside, then
that makes sense to do it there.
Yes, it makes sense to do it there.
So that means people will be paying for their own bagels?
No. I will step up to the plate. I'm going to buy at least 2, maybe 3 dozen bagels and a couple of buckets of coffee.
Okay.
So sweet. Breakfast.
It's going to be first come, first served.
That's right.
All right.
And Tony will dance.
Tony will dance.
Yeah, I'll get
Tony dance.
I'll do my sky dance. That's the only thing I know.
Do you notice? And people may be wondering why I'm saying that, but Tony danced. I recorded it. Because we would play that ska song, we were trying to find that outro song. I recorded you dancing, and Matt, that never made it onto the site.
I want
you to know that, Matt. He never put it out there.
You never put it out. Mary?
I still have a copy of it.
YouTube.
YouTube.
I just haven't had time to edit it. So if you guys want to do it,
I'm going to put it up there unedited.
We're unedited on YouTube.
That's right. Link will be on the show notes.
Or maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true, because Tony handles the show notes. All right, Tony, we'll confer with you afterwards. We don't want you to feel too uncomfortable. But anyway, I thought you did fine. I never knew what ska dancing was. I still don't know.
I don't think we got a pretty accurate representation, I must say.
All right.
But it was amusing.
All right. But open source software was used in the...
in the creation of this playing ska of dance. The song.
Okay. What do we have next? I'm completely off track.
I have no idea where we are.
I think news is supposed to be
next. News.
Do we have news this week?
Well, I have to apologize to our listeners.
there was no news?
I had a very busy week at my regular work.
Which you heard about at the beginning of the show.
And also with a customer. I've been totally tied up with a customer for my off time this week.
Okay.
So... I didn't write any stories myself, and I apologize for anybody out there that likes my stories that I write myself, although no one ever says it. Hint, hint.
Well, you know, man, I like them, and I always like getting them a little bit ahead of time so I knew what you were talking about.
But
so
I have four stories that are current in the news, and I have little blurbs from them that I'm going to read and links to the actual story that was written by others.
Okay.
So... that's what we're going to do this week. Sorry.
All right. That's right.
All right.
Take it away, Matt.
It's time for the tech news of the week.
First up, we have, if Linus Torvalds got hit by a bus, would Linux die?
No.
As was the case in the beginning, Linus Torvalds remains the leader of Linux and is responsible for maintaining the mainline kernel and pushing out its new leading-edge releases. One of the questions that has long been asked and was asked again at the LinuxCon conference on Wednesday night is the question of succession, known as, what if Linus gets hit by a bus? And you can read that story.
By a bus driven by, what, Microsoft?
That story originally appeared on ServerWatch. Uh-huh. And the link will be in the show notes.
Huh. Well, it'll continue on. No.
I don't think so either.
Well, think about it.
I don't think he'll die.
There's too many. There's too many high level guys. Like Greg Crow Hartman's right there with him.
Exactly.
And, yes.
I mean, there's a common understanding about, you know, the objectives and how things get done that all of those guys have.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of like the CEO on the top of everything. Mm-hmm. Where even if the CEO dies, the company still runs. It's just they have to find a new leader.
And the vision. I think those guys understand the vision.
I think they do. I mean, they're very important. And
so we decided that pretty quick, Matt.
Yes.
Okay. What's your next story?
Next up, we have the NSA building a more secure Android.
I just don't.
It's no secret that Google's Android mobile operating system has had its share of security flaws. But what is less known is that the U.S. government's National Security Agency, the NSA, is among the teams working on to improve Android security. The NSA is no stranger to the world of Linux and open source security. In 2004, the NSA began to work on something known as SE Linux, Security Enhanced Linux. SE Linux provides mandatory access control and granular application level controls to Linux. SE Linux is now baked into Linux, and it is a key component of its overall enhanced security. The NSA's SE Android project is an attempt to extend that same approach to Android phones. SE Android was launched by NSA to address what they perceive as critical gaps in the security of Android. Is it obvious that this is the first time I'm reading this?
You read it so smoothly.
I did not, I don't think.
Okay, I'm not paying attention.
That originally appeared on Security Planet, www.securityplanet. Mm-hmm. The link will be in the show notes.
There's been news out that they've been working on that for a long time.
Well,
oh, really?
Question.
I missed it. I totally missed it. I didn't know they were working on it until I read this.
And SE Linux is not a full Linux distro.
It's policies that are applied on top of Linux.
Okay.
Not even
right.
I don't know if they have if it's a specific kernel or not. I just think it's applied on top, like App Armor.
I knew it wasn't. I mean, are you
familiar with App Armor at all? That's like what SUSE does.
Yeah.
What's that? There's another one that is specifically kernel-based.
Oh, I don't know. We saw that talk from that.
Well, my question for asking is that whenever I hear NSA, I always think, oh, they've got backdoors baked into everything.
But, oh, no.
That's open source.
Well, see, and that was my question. It's open source, so has anybody really taken the time to look? I suppose they have, obviously, yes. Since it's...
Of course.
So, I understand
this community and the NSA, you don't think it's going to be gone over with a fine-tooth comb? Come on, right?
Yeah. But, you know, it's an obviously their best interest as well as the community's best interest to have these security things. So thanks, NSA.
Yes. The NSA does good things.
Cool.
That we know about.
Yeah. We don't know about the bad things.
That's right.
Anyway, moving on. Next up, we have Fedora 18 to be delayed by another week.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that, too.
Fedora 18 Spherical Cowl will be delayed by another week due to some outstanding bugs that are blocking its release. Earlier, this release was delayed by a week for the same reason. This makes a total of 2 weeks delay for the release. This originally appeared on Muckedware.
So, Tony.
The link will be in the show notes.
So, Tony, you know Matt's going over to that. Can you imagine how he's going to be when these things get delayed?
I'm kidding, Matt.
No, I think it makes sense.
If I do go to Fedora, I'm going to go to like Rawhide, so that won't be a problem.
All right.
No, Rawhide is Fedora's rolling release.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay. I was not completely aware of that.
Just like SUSE's rolling release is Tumbleweed.
Hmm. And Arch's is?
Arch is always rolling.
Exactly. I was going to say Arch. Right. That's what you were supposed to say.
Oh.
You should have coordinated that. You didn't get the memo.
I didn't get the memo. I'm sorry.
Man, I forgot to send it.
And last but not least, we have open source will power the solar steam engine. When fossil fuels are depleting fast and humanity is in deep thought as how to supply power to
deep
the next
thought.
Generations.
Deep doo-doo. Yeah.
Zenman Energy is building a solar steam engine that will be affordable to the masses and also cost a fraction of the current photovoltaic solutions. On top of it, it will be powered by open source.
From their press release?
Yes. It's a Muckedware. Actually, it's from Muckedware. I got it from Muckedware about 5 minutes ago.
All right, so they're really going to... We appreciate your candor. So it's really the steam energy powered
it's
by
gonna be
solar.
Like a steam, it's going to be a steam generator. Okay. It's going to be the steam will be manufactured by solar power,
mm-hmm.
okay, heating up the water and boiling it and creating the steam, turning the turbine, which is then going to turn a generator to generate the electricity mm-hmm. for your home.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
It is cool.
You know, I've always had this thought of what the future will be, and I was...
And steampunk is the future.
It is. Yeah, right.
No, but I've always thought of, like, personal power supplies or power sources
mm-hmm.
for your house or for the neighborhood is how it's going to go. But my thought is always was going to be power cell.
Nuclear.
No, not nuclear.
I've always thought it was going to be...
I mean, nuclear is safer than what the U.S. generally thinks, but I think it's going to be hydrogen.
I mean, look at France. Like, 90% of their power or something is generated in France, is generated by nuclear in Japan, too.
Because when I traveled through Europe, this was quite a few years ago, I took trains through, I think, France and maybe into Germany. I was amazed at how many nuclear power plants I saw.
Yeah, France is loaded with them.
Yeah. Now, but Tony, just to your comment there, a couple friends of mine, what they did is they installed this generator that is powered by natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
So in the event of a power outage, seamlessly switch over and they're still
right. And
in power, so to speak.
And that's like the current fallback or whatever you call it. Fallback where, if your main power supply...
Provided you still have natural gas.
Right. No, but my thought is hydrogen power plant. And a hydrogen power plant...
Oh, you could do electrolysis on water. You could do electrolysize water, and then you'll never run out of hydrogen, too.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because all you need is a water source.
Yeah.
We're close enough to
create,
lots of water.
And the byproduct of hydrogen... Of burning hydrogen
is water.
Then you pull hydrogen out of the water, and then So, I mean, obviously there's going to be a loss there, so you still need a power source. But
a water source.
Or a water source, right. And but you can, like, a refrigerator-size power plant could power a neighborhood.
I don't know about a neighborhood, but definitely power your house.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what my thought is. Huh. And I think that's what the future
I think
is.
We ought to get together. Nobody listen to this. Tony and I are going to patent it.
I'm going back to school to be a hydrogen engineer.
Well, there's only one small problem with hydrogen, though. One small problem with hydrogen.
What?
It's combustible?
Hindenburg.
Actually, did you know that it wasn't the hydrogen?
It was the lightning?
No.
It was the thing painted with.
The paint on the...
Oh, really?
That's what caused it to go whoosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but if you think, it's full of gas.
Now, don't get me wrong. The hydrogen didn't help.
We drive around in cars that are explodable or combustible. They can explode.
And
but
did you know
that
gasoline?
About that.
Gasoline is a contact explosive. They have to add a chemical to it to make it safe to use as a
well, it's really the fumes,
fuel.
I think. That,
No. Gasoline itself, real raw gasoline, is a contact explosive. If you have a small puddle of it and you smash it with a hammer, it explodes. It's a contact explosive.
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't know that, Matt. Okay.
Anyway.
Well,
you know who I learned
we,
that from?
I'm tired of off-roading.
Do you know who I learned that from, though?
No, I don't.
I learned that from Dr. Bob. Remember Dr. Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he moved to South Carolina or someplace.
That's right. Same state Stephen Colbert's from.
Oh, don't get me. No.
He's a conservative man.
Anyway, continuing on.
Shut up.
All right. We're going on. All right. So what other news you got for us?
That's all I have.
Okay.
I found one thing. Did you know?
Did you find one thing? What was that?
I did. Twitter joins the Linux Foundation.
I saw that.
Did
I thought,
you?
Big whoop.
Big deal.
I mean, because there was some other stories. I mean,
yeah, they made
Tony,
a big change.
I'm glad
this
you said
week.
That, and I'm glad you found that because, you probably saw the thing too. Because I'm not knocking your news story. I'm knocking the fact that,
news.
Yeah, it, because I think
the
they
fact
had
tightened. Is news?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, they use a lot of open source, but I thought they also tightened something down or took something
away.
Yeah,
the other podcast I was listening to, the non Linux specific podcasts, so a lot of the Twit ones, they're all complaining how Twitter is pulling the one API and changing it up. So if you use a program on your desktop to tweet, then it'll no longer work, or you can no longer get the token to be able to tweet. So that's what's changing up. Yeah.
So what, you can only do it then from mobile devices?
Through Twitter.
Through Twitter or their their supplied program.
All right.
Because if you already have a token, then your program will continue to work. But if there's any kind of upgrades or updates to it, then you're going to lose that.
Mm.
And, I mean, there was one specific that one of the ladies was talking about. I can't remember what it's called. But she had the beta version, and it's still working, but they pulled the release. So
did they pay their money already to the Linux Foundation?
I assume so, since they're members.
Yeah.
Anyway, is it...
I thought maybe they invoice them, and they... Yeah.
Oh. I don't know.
All right. So that was your news?
Yeah, that's all I found today.
Well, I've got the KDE Corner news.
All right.
All right, Matt's get ready, Matt. No, just kidding. No, there's not much at all. There was just a bug fix release for Reconk, so it's 1.1. The link to
can you hold on a second? I don't know if any of our listeners can hear that, but we have a cricket in the room, and it's chirping, so we apologize if you can hear that.
We don't think they can.
No, I don't think
they can. But, yeah, I did hear that. It fixed some problems when KDE went to 4.9, so that link will be available. And also Caligra 2.5.1 was released, and again, that's another bug fix. So who knows? That could have been released in conjunction or following that KDE upgrade. So those are the two things that I've got. Another one I've got, I think last week I mentioned that Chakra's new release, Claire. After I installed it, they have the nicest, and it's called Caputin, or Capudan or Capudan. They've got the nicest utility for taking you through some customization steps. They got it from Pardis, I think, Linux. And it is, but they obviously customize it for themselves, for the Chakra project. But it does such a nice job of walking you through the final customization steps. And this one link I've got here in the show notes from linuxbsdos.com. BSD. I'm thinking, why does it say Linux BS DOS? It's
Linux. You didn't.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. Oh, it's Linux BSD OS. You know, it's all in how those letters are arranged.
same alphabet.
Oh, no, yes.
I'm glad you did that, Matt. This really loves company. But anyway, there'll be a link to that in the show notes. But it's a really nice way to walk one through those steps.
For that Linux BS DOS?
Yeah. And then I also... I use the top command. You use the top command. We all use the top command.
Everybody uses the top command.
There's a song in there. Tony, I think we should come up with a song and perform at Ohio Linux Fest.
No.
To a crowd of none. Not nuns, but none. But anyway,
Hey, at PenguinCon, we had two people.
At 6 a.m. on Sunday?
Yes.
I know. We were doing good. And they were our family members. But anyway, there's a really good description that kind of walks you through what each one means. Because, you can tell from some of them, but some of them are a little more esoteric. And I've got a link to that in the show notes because I thought that was really helpful. So those are the things that I have. And then I think I did put up the some banter topics this week.
I didn't see any.
I posted them 3 days ago.
Oh.
Apple versus Samsung. A juror said we wanted to send a message,
That's last week. We talked about that. The juror said we wanted to send a message.
We talked about the jury award, the case verdict, but what we didn't talk about it because it came in that Friday before we recorded, the day before we recorded.
Yeah, the
jurors reacted
the juror
on Monday.
The jury foreman said that they were trying to send a message that this is not acceptable. That's why the award was so big. I thought we talked about that right away.
Right, but then
our thought of it was probably that, because Mary said this article didn't come out until Monday.
The article didn't, but I think the announcement of his statement came out before that.
All right, but then this week on the Wall Street Journal, their site, their video blog site, they had an interview with a Detroit patent lawyer on that whole thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I've got
I wonder,
that
you know, I have
from Butzel Long.
One of the interns at work, he's not an intern anymore because he went back to school, but his dad is an IP lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it's him. What does it say what his name is?
I think it was Pegnos, I believe it was. I don't have it here. I've got the link.
Oh, his last name was what?
It's James. I believe it was Pegnos.
Then it's not. It's not him.
Okay. Well, yeah, he's at Butzel Long, which is a big local firm.
Yeah, I don't know what firm. I don't know what firm his dad works for, but
Bill
yeah. he flies all over the country yeah. doing IP stuff.
So there's a little video that link will be in the show notes. The other thing too, and this is a few weeks old, but I don't think we talked about it, and I really didn't hear much about this. But you know, Microsoft's Windows 8. What's the nickname
Metro?
For? Exactly. Do you know that they have had to stop saying Metro?
No.
I heard about that. Yeah, there's a lawyer.
Yes.
There's a lawsuit
Germany.
About it.
There's a German company that sued them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so now they're calling it Windows 8 style UI, or they're having to call it something else instead of Metro, because that's all I heard ever since they came out with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That Metro UI.
Yeah, they did that last time, or with Vista, like the... code name was Longhorn.
Yeah, yeah, and then
they had a problem with that, too.
Yeah. Yes, I remember that Longhorn, and then you just never heard it again. So the word Metro is banned. They cannot use it. They've been threatened with legal action for infringing on Metro trademarks. Now, it's a German retailer, Metro AG. Now, here's my question. Microsoft has so many lawyers and is so in tune to that kind of thing. I'm amazed that those lawyers, what's wrong with them? They didn't catch that.
They didn't do their due diligence.
It was just amazing to me.
I think they just assumed that they could just get away with it.
Well, sometimes you can. Like, it's a retailer, you said?
Yeah, it's a German retailer.
A lot of times, this is how U.S. law works anyway.
Well, the story I heard is that they're a retailer, but they also have software.
Okay.
And that's how they got it.
Because this is how U.S. law works under that for trademarks, is that if the company is completely different, if they're in a different market completely.
Somebody who sells nails and they call their nails Linux.
Yeah, yeah. It's if they're completely different, there's no infringement.
Yeah.
Because a company I worked for at one time.
You can never get them mixed up.
Right. A company I worked for at one time actually had to sue another company because they used the name of our warranty as the name of their warranty.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Okay.
And we actually had the company I worked for actually got the word forever trademarked.
Forever?
Yes.
That's crazy.
I don't know how they did it, but they got the word forever trademarked.
Yeah, so Metro AG has software.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the story I heard.
Maybe part of their retailing. Huh. Okay, so that's all the news I have.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's about all I had.
That's all I have.
Now it's time for Mary's quiz show. Is it alive?
That's right. Is it alive? Or did Mary make this distro name up?
Oh, no.
During this segment of the show, I challenge Matt and Tony to identify whether a Linux distro is alive or dead. This week is Twist Week, however. When I challenge Matt and Tony to decide whether the name Entity is a real Linux distro or a name I made up. As is customary on Twist Week, extra credit is given if the real Linux distro, not the fake name, is alive. So that's what we're doing.
Whether it's alive or dead.
I mean, yeah, whether it's alive or dead. So you get extra credit.
Are you gonna?
Matt's taking his hat off for this one.
You got to think about it. Yeah? Are you gonna keep track, or do you need me to?
Oh, I don't know, Tony. Are you able to do it?
I have to get a piece of paper.
Oh, okay. If we're a little slower than usual, I can keep track. Okay, Matt's. Good thing you're not on camera, Matt, because people would be calling in saying, "Resuscitate him! Resuscitate him!" Oh, speaking of that, did you hear about that Oakland County medical examiner who had a heart attack in the courtroom this week?
No.
A juror he performed CPR on him and saved his life.
No wow. Kidding.
Yeah. So, Tony, we're going to have to...
Okay.
All right. That's okay. All right. So, you guys ready?
Yeah.
I was born ready. The question's for what?
You know, that was funny the first time you said it. And even the second time, I got a little chuckle. But this is the 18th time you've said that. Just kidding. That's all right. No, it is funny.
No, it's not. But I say it anyway.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go. First one.
Okay.
Adios, Linux.
That is a Linux distribution, and it is dead.
I'm going to say not... And so it's not dead.
Adios Boot CD was a Fedora-based live distribution and installation CD to support for user mode Linux, et cetera, et cetera. So by now I think you've figured out that it was a real distro and it's dead. Fun 2 Linux.
Fun 2.
Yeah, that's
a real distribution. That's real. It's alive.
Yep. I'm going to say real and live.
Fun 2 Linux is a Linux-based operating system created by Daniel Robbins, the creator and former chief architect of Gen 2 Linux. It is real and it's live.
Yay.
Tony's all excited.
I'm on
well,
board.
You're in second place. That's what the glass half full person says.
Yes. That's
right. Glass half empty person says. You're last. No, just kidding. All right, just kidding. All right, the next one, Chopsticks Linux.
You made that up.
I want to say it's real. And yep. It's dead.
I made it up.
Oh.
Oh, Tony. Okay. Next one is Flash Linux.
Where are you going, Tony? What are you
doing?
I'm
going to say it's alive, it's real, and it's dead.
Mary made it up.
Hang on, I'm recording your answers before I reveal this. Flash Linux was is a free customized Linux distribution initially designed to be run directly off a 256 megabyte USB key or other forms of bootable flash memory. So it's a real Linux distro, and it's sort of alive. And so, in other words, you can still download it, but it hasn't been used in a while. So I'm calling it alive because you can still download it.
Wait a minute. I thought as if it was like updated within the last year.
She said as long as it's still the ISO is still available.
Yeah.
She changed to the ISO.
Yeah, because a couple weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, you did. You changed like a month ago or something.
So you got a point out. You got at least one point out of that. Yeah. That's right. So that's why I say it's sort of alive.
I'm still winning by two.
Yeah.
All right. Ice Pack Linux.
I'll say, I don't know. Ice Pack?
Ice Pack Linux.
Fake.
Yeah, you made that up.
Ice Pack Linux was an independent Linux distribution built from scratch. Its objective was to offer you a user-friendly, full-featured operating system, pre-configured, well-structured, and easy to work with, et cetera, et cetera. It's real, but it's dead.
Oh, man.
All right, the last one, Kangaroo Linux.
Kangaroo Linux.
I'm going to go with you made this up.
Well, I'm going to go opposite. I'm going to say it's real and it's alive.
I made it up. Matt, I think it's appropriate to pronounce you the winner.
Yes, it is. By 3 points.
Yep, 6-3.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, Tony, you tried really hard, and I appreciate that. You know, that's really important. So join us next week for another edition of Is It Alive?
All right.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
For Matt. Yeah,
it was. It was very fun. I enjoyed it greatly.
Tony, thanks for participating. You're a great sport. Okay.
It's listener feedback time.
And we have a listener feedback line. And that number is 313-626-9140.
What did we have this week?
Well, we had some spam. We had some spam feedback.
Some spam, yeah. But
no, there was just that one I saw.
Yeah, Crayon?
Yeah, from Crayon.
Crayon, that's right, from Australia.
Yeah, he emailed in saying that he is on the Colonel Panic podcast.
Yep, Colonel Panic Ogcast.
Ogcast, that's right. And he wanted to apologize for getting on a few weeks ago and thinking, was afraid that we were afraid or we were upset at him.
No, not at all.
No, because he was starting his live right about the time we were on, and he was mentioning that in the IRC channel.
Trying to hijack our listeners.
Right. But no, we didn't think he was. But what else did he say? Because he wrote this quite an email. With like three PSs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think he enjoys our little gig, so that's great. We really appreciate that, so we work hard.
Sure.
Oh, he said that the mirror functionality in, because you talked about in your distro review in episode 45 that there was a speed mirror functionality, but that's part of Pac-Man.
Yeah, I didn't realize that because I don't use it. But that makes sense because Synarch uses their repositories and all that. So it would make sense that it would carry that functionality into it.
Yeah. And then he also mentioned how to be able to email us, he had to go through the form on the website instead of being able to email to our show directly. And then I started looking around and we did not publish our email address anywhere, just our individual emails.
No.
Addresses. So it's show@smlr.us.
And the link will be in the show notes?
It will be posted from now on.
It is posted. Yep, it's fixed now.
Is our phone number on there too?
It is.
Okay.
It's in our.
I'll have to call us just to make sure that number's still working.
Got
to
make an outgoing call.
Yes, I do. Once every 90 days. I'll do that.
Yeah, that's coming up soon.
So when you ask me what I did, that's what I'm going to be telling you next week. Hey, I called our number.
All right.
Okay.
I think that was it for feedback this week. Pretty so slim.
That can only mean one thing.
We're losing listeners.
Oh, I hope not. No, that can only mean one thing. We're reaching the end of the show.
Yeah, right? We're coming to the end.
Coming to the end. This is the end, my friend.
He's channeling Jim Morrison.
Featured music of the week.
And
what music do we have?
It's Amanda Palmer, the ukulele anthem.
Yes.
Okay.
This is some good stuff.
Played a four-string Fender bass guitar and couldn't sing, and everybody hated him except the ones who loved him. A ukulele has four strings, but Sid did not play ukulele. He did smack and probably killed his girlfriend Nancy Spungen. If only Sid had had a ukulele, maybe he would have been happy, maybe he would not have suffered such a sad end. He maybe would have not done all that heroin. Instead, he maybe would have sat around just singing nice songs to his girlfriend. So play your favorite cover song, especially if the words are wrong. 'Cause even if your grades are bad, it doesn't mean you're failing. Do your homework with a fork and eat your Fruit Loops in the dark and bring your Etch-a-Sketch to work and play your ukulele. Ukulele small and fearful, ukulele brave and peaceful. You can play the ukulele too, it is painfully simple. Play your ukulele badly, play your ukulele loudly. Ukulele banish evil, ukulele save the people. Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 wax, then gave her father 41 and left a tragic puzzle. If only they had given her an instrument, those Puritans had lost the plot completely. See what happens when you muzzle a person's creativity and do not let them sing or scream. And nowadays it's worse because kids have automatic handguns. It takes about an hour to teach someone to play the ukulele, about the same to teach someone to build a standard pipe bomb. You do the math, so play your favorite cover song, especially if the words are wrong. 'Cause even if your grades are bad, it doesn't mean you're failing. Do your homework with a fork and eat your Fruit Loops in the dark and bring your flask of Jack to work and play your ukulele. Ukulele, thing of wonder. Ukulele, wand of thunder. You can play the ukulele too in London and down under. Play Joan Jett and play Jacques Brel and Eminem and Neutral Milk Hotel. The children crush the hatred. Play your ukulele naked. Anybody tries to steal your ukulele, let them take it. Imagine there's no music, imagine there are no songs. Imagine that John Lennon wasn't shot in front of his apartment. Now imagine if John Lennon had composed Imagine for the ukulele. Maybe people would have truly got the message. You may think my approach is simple-minded and naive, like if you want to change the world, then why not quit and feed the hungry? But people for millennia have needed music to survive, and that is why I promised John that I will not feel guilty. So play your favorite Beatles song and make the subway fall in love. They're only 1995, that isn't lots of money. Play until the sun comes up and play until your fingers suffer. Play LCD sound system songs on your ukulele. minimize some stranger sadness with a piece of wood and plastic. Holy fuck, it's so fantastic. Playing ukulele, eat your homework with a fork and do your Fruit Loops in the dark and bring your Etch-a-Sketch to work, your flask of Jack, your vibrator, your fear of heights, your Nikon lens, your mom and dad, your disco stick, your soundtrack to Karate Kid, your Ginsu knives, your rosary, your new Rebecca Black CD, your favorite room, your Bowie knife, your stuffed giraffe, your new glass eye, your sousaphone, your breakfast tea, your Nick Drake tapes, your giving tree, your ice cream truck, your missing wife, your will to live, your urge to cry. Remember, we're all gonna die.
So are we going to finish off our show?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Linux Review. This is Tony Bemis.
Matt Enders.
Mary Tomich and a printing copier.
Yeah. Hey, have a good week. See you next week.
This is episode 47. what the Labor Day / sidetrack.
Old track, that's right. Sidetrack. Off-road issue episode.
Okay.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition. Liftoff.
We are counting down to the 10th annual Ohio Linux Fest. Join us in Columbus for a weekend jam-packed with your favorite open-source software. On Friday, get professional training at Ohio Linux Fest Institute, or come to see the Early Penguins Talks. Saturday brings a full set of presentations, including the new Beginner's Track. Don't forget to stop by the display booths featuring prominent vendors and community projects. Sunday wraps up with LPI and BSDA certification exams, as well as the Diversity and Open Source Workshop. It all happens September 28, 29, and 30 at the Greater Columbus Convention Center. Visit ohiolinux.org for all the details.
And I'm gonna wash that thing right out of my right out my laptop.
Wash that man right out of my head.
That's right.
Are we dating ourselves there, Mary? I don't think that commercial's been on TV.
My mother sang it when I was pregnant. I mean, when she was pregnant. I had that wrong.
Girlfriend Nancy Spongin. If only Sid had had a ukulele.
See, I told you, it's about Sid Vicious.
I was going to say, this song makes completely different. It makes more sense to me now.
That I explained to him who Sid Vicious was. And oh no, somebody else is in the building and printing something to the copier.
It's great they timed it till now, right?
So play your favorite cover song.
Same alphabet, different letters.
That's great.
Thanks.
All right, Tony, you're gonna have to cut at least 30 seconds of that out.
I'm letting everybody see Matt laughing.
We've got oxygen. We have oxygen tank standing by. Oh my god! Oh.
All right,
I'm crying. I know I made that up.
Nose is running. Oh man, Mary, you killed me. Oh, same alphabet, different letters.